Welcome back to the Power Hour. Jay Krieger with you. It is 6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Tuesday, January 11, 2022. For those of you listening in, 844-769-2944. I've just been on the phone with Dr. Syed Haider. He is going to be coming on the show in just a minute, and we want to tell you as a courtesy and caveat that the information provided during this broadcast is for informational purposes only. It's not intended as a substitute for medical advice from your physician or other healthcare professionals. However, having said that, when we get done with this segment, folks, you are going to absolutely love the solutions that Dr. Haider is working on and has been working on to treat the over 35,000 patients that he has worked on. And he has a website, mygotodoc.com. There are protocols. If you have not been paying much attention to this, you're asking me for solutions. I think Dr. Haider is going to give you some very solid frontline doctor advice. Because like you say, Dr. Haider has said, there's very few frontline physicians that are standing up there recommending these kinds of treatments. And so when you have this kind of a ratio, over 35,000 patients, over 4,000 with active COVID infections, zero deaths, five hospitalizations, four of which they waited too long for treatment, as I suspected. One was kind of like an allergic reaction to something, more psychological than not. I'm going to let Dr. Haider elaborate on that in a little bit. But I want to ask Dr. Haider, first off, welcome to the show. And as far as your frontline doctor preferred treatments, how long did it take you to come up with a protocol?
Sure, Dave. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here with your listeners. And, you know, having a platform to speak about this is so important nowadays when everyone's being deplatformed. So you're doing, you know, incredible work, and I'm so glad that, you know, you're providing people like me a platform to talk to people and to spread this information, which is really life-saving information. So in the very beginning, you know, I kind of knew in the summer of 2020 that ivermectin worked. You know, I started casting around looking for things that were off-label and, you know, solutions, because I had been in medicine at that point for about 10 years, and I had kind of figured out, you know, that there's a lot of corruption in medicine and that what you hear from the authorities is not really the truth, right? It's not really on the up and up, and there's always something that's behind the scenes that where the real solution lies, right? And whether that's lifestyle medicine, whether that's herbs, whether it's, you know, off-label cheap pharmaceuticals that have been around for 40 years or 100 years, you know, there's always something that's really simple and easy. You know, maybe juicing, for example. I've had some experience with cancer patients, and I was listening in on your last the last hour, you know, towards the end there. And so I've actually seen people, you know, cure their cancers, you know, like stage 3 and 4 cancers with juicing protocols. So I can, you know, I can confirm that's for real, and that really does happen. So I had known this for a few years, and I had studied a little bit of functional medicine, and so I started looking around, and I found the FLCCC protocols and all the research. You know, there at that point had been tons of research for ivermectin. So in the beginning, what I was doing was I was initially working in hospitals for the first month or two of the pandemic. And then so what I did was hospital locum tenens, which is kind of like part time. You go around to hospitals that need you. And we were all expecting that the demand would just skyrocket. Right. But then what happened was lockdowns happened and no one wanted to go to hospital anymore. Everyone was afraid to go to hospitals, and COVID kind of petered out. I mean, it wasn't as big as we expected it to be, and there just was no demand for doctors at that point. So I started working online, and initially I just joined a big company that does, you know, online telehealth consults for urgent care patients, you know, patients who just, they don't know you from Adam, and they just come on and they get connected to a random doctor. So that was me for a few months, and I was trying to tell people, hey, you know, there's stuff for, you know, the people who had COVID or were concerned about it. I was trying to tell them about ivermectin. And there was just, I couldn't get any traction. Maybe 1 in 100 people were open to hearing about this thing that they had never heard about anywhere else, right? Most people would just kind of give me a blank stare. And I had a really hard time, you know, trying to explain to them that, hey, there's a lot of research and data, and even though you haven't heard about it on CNN or NBC or Fox or anywhere, this is a real thing. But, you know, it's a strange-sounding drug. You know, it's not one of the common medications in the U.S., and And so I had trouble until like December of 2020. And this is when Pierre Corey had a Senate hearing, and his Senate hearing went viral on YouTube, you know, tens of millions of views. And then people, you know, the word ivermectin was kind of out there in the mainstream consciousness, and people started searching me out and asking me for it. So that's when I opened my website, and we were just getting people coming and asking for it. And so a few months after that, I added fluvoxamine to the protocol. And this is a drug that's gone through phase 1, 2, and 3 trials for COVID-19 and has incredible results. You know, I think everyone knows about ivermectin, so I just want to briefly kind of introduce fluvoxamine. It's an SSRI that's used for depression generally, but the antidepressant effects don't really kick in for the first 4 to 6 weeks. So it takes that long for your brain to kind of like change its functioning with an SSRI. And so you only need to use it for 10 to 14 days for COVID. So we're not looking for that antidepressant effect. We're looking for an antiviral and anti-inflammatory effect, similar to what ivermectin does, but in different ways. So it works in different ways from ivermectin in a complementary way. And it's very powerful because fluvoxamine actually enters the brain. It passes through the blood-brain barrier, where ivermectin does not. So if there's inflammation in the brain, which there commonly is with COVID, it's going to affect that. And I'm not saying that COVID-19 specifically is in your brain. In some people, it does end up in your brain, but the inflammation from the infection does enter the brain. And so it's nice to have a drug that does pass into the brain and addresses inflammation inside the brain. And it also helps prevent the clotting that happens. You know, it's got an anticoagulant effect, and it stabilizes the platelets, which are the cell fragments that cause clotting in our blood vessels. And it helps with a lot of things. I mean, it's an incredible drug. It can help prevent the cytokine storm. So I learned about that in February of 2021. Steve Kirsch, a tech entrepreneur from Silicon Valley, he kind of started reaching out to the doctors who were working with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and tried to get everyone to kind of consider fluvoxamine. He was bankrolling the fluvoxamine trials, and he had trouble. No one was listening to him, right? But he sent me an email, and I was like, sure, so show me the data. And I read it, and I looked at it, and I hadn't heard about it before. I wasn't aware of it. But when I saw the data, I said, definitely, we need to start using it. And my personal experience was, incredible. And the first, I was still, things were kind of going slow in the first couple of months. And so I sent out a lot of prescriptions for prevention. But at that point, I'd only treated something like 20, 25 patients. And out of that first 20 patients that I only gave ivermectin to before fluvoxamine was on my protocol, I had one person hospitalized. So one of the five people that were hospitalized was in that first 20 patients. And then I added fluvoxamine. And then the next 1,000 patients, I didn't see a single hospitalization. And then, so far I've treated, more than 4,000, actually, probably closer to 4,500 or 5,000 acute patients now. And it's rare to get a hospitalization I actually have not seen anyone hospitalized if you treat them in the first few days of the infection, except for, like you said, that one guy. He was young, and it was just like a weird reaction he had to fluvoxamine specifically. And he wasn't so much hospitalized for COVID. He was hospitalized for this weird kind of reaction, kind of a psychological reaction, actually. And it wasn't something that necessarily needed to be hospitalized. It was just that he was so concerned about it. I think he kind of wanted to be in the hospital, just monitored. And so he was discharged, and within a couple of days, they didn't hold him for COVID-19. It wasn't the COVID that ended up with that led to the hospitalization. So that's kind of the intro to my story. And I think one thing that's really important to tell all your listeners is that, when somebody says I treated 4,000 patients and I only had 5 hospitalizations and 0 deaths, compared to what, right? So compared to doing nothing, and if I had done nothing, as, the government would have me do, what I would expect to see in an average, group of 4,000 patients would be 300 hospitalizations, not just 5, but 300 or more, and at least 5 deaths, 4 or 5 deaths in a group that large. And so somebody might say, maybe you just had really young patients, young tech-savvy patients, right? You're just working online. And actually, it's the opposite, okay? I had really old patients who had a lot of trouble filling out online forms. I had to, hire people to help them. They would call in, and sometimes we'd have to walk them through it, and sometimes we actually fill out the forms for them, right? So they're not tech-savvy at all, primarily elderly patients, primarily over 50, because those are the people that were really worried enough to, search out some kind of solution that was not being given to them in their in their local town or local community, and very few patients who were younger than 50. So primarily really high-risk patients are the patients that I got. The vast majority were very high-risk and just, you know, incredible results that you would not have expected. And these results, you know, it's not just me. You know, there are doctors all over the country and all over the world. In the U.S., maybe a few hundred, you know, for 300 million people, you know, which is a problem, certainly, which we're trying to solve, which I'll get to. And then around the world, there's, you know, probably another few hundred, maybe 1,000, for the, you know, nearly 8 billion people on our planet. There's just not enough to go around. But I know, you know, doctors in India, you know, who have treated tens of thousands of patients, you know, doctors in other countries as well, who have had similar results. And it's not all exactly the same protocol. So I know people who use primarily hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, and they have similar results. I know people who use, you know, ivermectin and maybe azithromycin or doxycycline. And in South Africa, Dr. Chetty, he doesn't have access to ivermectin. And I don't think he doesn't even have access to hydroxychloroquine, I don't think. He's using primarily antihistamines and I think Phenergan, which has some antihistamine effects. And his primary approach is this antihistamine approach, really early treatment. And he's had incredible results, too. So there's more than one way to skin a cat, you know, and COVID. I think the silver lining to this pandemic is just that so many of us in medicine have become aware that we can treat viruses successfully with repurposed drugs. You know, we went through med school, all of us, and we kind of got this impression that viruses are extremely difficult to treat. And we have very few treatments that work for viruses and only very tiny, you know, select viruses that we might be able to treat in certain select situations, like certain hepatitis, you know, hepatitis C, there's a treatment for it that apparently works. You know, HIV, I know, is quite a controversial virus. Some people don't even think it causes AIDS. And, you know, I don't know enough about it to say either way. But, you know, we have treatments, you know, that's what we're taught in med school. We have treatments for HIV. We have treatments for the flu. I think they're probably not really any good, but, you know, so that's what we're taught. You know, we have treatments for like 3-4 different viruses, and that's about it. All the other hundreds of viruses out there, there's nothing you can really do. And if you miss the boat on early treatment, we have nothing to give you. And so we learned that we can treat early with antivirals, and we can even treat late with anti-inflammatories because it's a two-stage disease. There's the viral, you know, the viral replication phase, and then there's the inflammatory phase. So hopefully this information will continue to spread, and, you know, and it'll create a revolution in medicine eventually. You know, eventually the word has to get out. I hope we can't suppress the truth forever, you know. So that's where I've been. That's what I've done. And you know, one important thing that we were talking about right before we came on air was that it's not possible to treat this at the last minute. Whether you're a patient, you know, it's certainly not possible to get the drugs you need fast enough if you wait until you start getting sick. You want to be able to hit this on day one or two, and before you even might be sure that it's COVID, right? Like, I have to stress this, you know, that a lot of people wait around for 3, 4, 5 days. That's not the right way to approach this, right? Because the treatments are so safe, and they actually have some overlap. They actually work, you know, ivermectin seems to work in the lab, in the test tube, against the flu. It works against other coronaviruses. I mean, I have had people tell me that I was actually found out I didn't have COVID, but it still made me feel better. And it's not surprising because, you know, it kind of has a broader effect on other viruses too, and it has an anti-inflammatory effect. So certainly ivermectin, I don't think anyone can argue with it. It's the safest drug I've ever seen, has been given more than 1 billion times in history for the last 40 years. Just, I can't think of a drug that's safer than ivermectin, right? Like, it's close to as safe as water, right? So, like, you can even overdose on water and harm yourself if you drink too much water. So ivermectin is close to that safe. Not quite, but, you know, it's the safest drug I can think of. It's safer than all the over-the-counter drugs that we have approved in the United States, certainly. You know, it's safer than antihistamines, it's safer than aspirin, it's safer than Tylenol, ibuprofen. You know, Tylenol causes liver failure. It's probably the leading cause still of liver failure in the U.S. Ibuprofen can cause heart failure. So these drugs are used quite commonly. You don't think twice about it. So I don't think you should really think twice about using ivermectin, even if you're low risk, because I've had really low risk young people. Anyone over 20, I think, should seriously consider treating a COVID infection or even a suspected infection because of the risk of long COVID. So long COVID is this kind of this inflammatory illness that develops after a COVID infection, after the virus is dead. It leaves this, you know, wreckage in your body and the spike protein, and it can cause some serious long-term issues like chronic fatigue syndrome and, you know, difficulty thinking straight, trouble sleeping. Some seriously debilitating symptoms can develop in a large number of people, actually. It's a virus that I don't think we've ever seen a virus that causes so many chronic complications in such a large percentage of people. It's been estimated anywhere from 30 to 90% of the people who develop COVID, depending on how you define long COVID, will end up developing long COVID. So it's important to take it seriously. And kind of the point I was getting to was that you can sign up on my website. You can register for free, become a patient in my practice. We'll do all your intake and everything. And you can ask any questions you want. You can download a free ebook about, you know, over-the-counter stuff that you can do for COVID prevention and treatment and for long COVID. And if you want a prescription, you can get one before you get sick. You don't have to wait till you get sick to get a prescription. I'll write a prescription and you can pick it up from the pharmacy and put it into your medicine cabinet and just keep it on hand. Ask all the questions, print out all the directions, make sure you understand exactly what you're going to do when you get sick, before you get sick, because if you wait till you get sick, oftentimes there's, 100 billion other people who are also sick who are beating down my door, right, trying to reach me and talk to me, and there's just no way that 200 or 300 or whatever, you know, number of physicians we have right now in the United States of America, there's no way we can talk to every single patient when they're sick. It's just impossible. So the way to beat this is to do what... Yeah, exactly. It's to do what they did in India, right? In Uttar Pradesh, it's a big secret. They don't want to let out what they went door to door and gave everyone. You know, I don't know if you've heard of that, but like, I mean, everyone knows that they gave out ivermectin, but the government, it's like they did it in secret and they didn't want to officially go out and tell the world what they gave people to end the pandemic. I mean, it's shocking to me. I can't believe it, but that's the fact that they handed out treatment kits to, like, you know, as many people as they could in Uttar Pradesh, which is the largest state in India, and they basically ended the pandemic in that state. And, you know, it went from, you know, being out of control to being basically gone, you know, being wiped out. And this could be done anywhere in the world. You know, you could wipe out the transmission if you just handed everyone ivermectin and told everyone wherever there was an outbreak, if everyone started taking ivermectin, a few weeks later, the virus would be dead in the water. It wouldn't be able to spread. So ivermectin makes you kind of bulletproof. The virus just bounces off of you. And that's why, you know, so far 30,000 people or so have come to me and just gotten ivermectin to take to prevent catching it, right? They were high risk and they didn't want to catch it. And so they took it twice a week. And so far, incredible results. I mean, somewhere around 10 to 20 have come back and said that they got sick with COVID-19. And then, you know, they got my, you know, recommendations for treatment. But I actually sent them home with the recommendations for how they would treat it if they got it too. So that's important to realize. You gotta read the directions I sent you, right? Like, you're not going to know what to do if you don't read it. But all the directions are going to be there. And if you, so the people, you know, like I said before, you can register for free. If you want me to write a prescription, that's where I charge a doctor's fee. If you can't afford it or you can't afford the entire fee, you know, you can ask for a discount if you have a big family, for example, or something like that. So, you know, I think that doctors should charge, but, you know, not, you know, if people can't afford it, then I'd like to just, you know, get it to everyone who needs it. And the people who are paying for it, they're helping cover the people who can't afford it. And the reason I think doctors should charge and it shouldn't be free is because when I give something away for free, people don't value it. So this is what I've noticed, not just in medicine, but in everything. If I just give free medical advice, it's hardly ever taken to heart. And actually, you know, people hardly ever actually do anything about, you know, what I tell them to do. And that's what I'm worried about here. And that's the way I designed it, the way I did, that if you truly need help and you truly can't afford it, then go ahead and ask us. And we're not going to, you know, ask you to prove anything or ask any questions. It's just no questions asked. Fine, you know, go ahead. And we'll go ahead and write the prescription without charge or whatever you tell us you can afford. So I think that's important to let people know. Information should be free and freely available. But in order, you know, unfortunately, freely available information always isn't taken seriously. So that's right.
I get that. Now, right. And Dr. Heider, while we were, while you were talking, I went and downloaded your, your COVID, book, your instruction book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's some stuff that I was at Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour last month in Dallas, and I met Brian Artis and Peter McCullough and David Martin and several of these frontline folks that are out there. Obviously, they're being attacked. You've been attacked three times by two separate state medical boards, had dozens of prescriptions thrown out by corporate controlled pharmacists, leading in many cases to inexcusable delay of life-saving care. Now, the thing is that, you know, there is a major pushback here. I did interview and spent extensive time with Dr. Richard Bartlett that, was basically, got revelation to say to, I'm going to give, steroid inhaler budesonide to one of my patients to open up his lungs, and by God, it worked. I've got some questions here from some listeners coming in. One is the steroid inhaler budesonide, do you also prescribe that in advance for people to keep on hand for like things like chronic bronchitis and stuff like that? Is that effective for that, and is that a condition of long COVID in addition to hair loss? What do you know about that?
So I do prescribe budesonide. If you sign up and you request the acute COVID treatment protocol beforehand, you do get budesonide. And if there's something that you're just convinced will work for you, you've done some research on it, you can also request other medications that are not in my specific protocol. So some people come in and they request to have hydroxychloroquine. I haven't really used it that much, but I do believe it works. You know, I think it was unfairly maligned and, you know, just fake studies were designed to show that it didn't work, and there was studies that were designed to fail and utterly fake studies like the Surgisphere study. So if there's something that you're sure you really want and you want to have it on hand, the one drug that I kind of hesitate to give that a lot of people do use for COVID is doxycycline, because there's some evidence to suggest that it actually decreases or slows down the clearance of the virus itself. So I've never actually seen anyone in my experience who actually needed an antibiotic. Including Z-Pak. So I will sometimes give Z-Pak if people ask for it, but in my experience, you know, people are like, hey, you know, I'd like to have an antibiotic in hand in case I get a bacterial infection from the COVID, or maybe they think that it, you know, has some antiviral effects like the Z-Pak perhaps does. But in my experience, it's not really necessary. It's better to try to avoid extra drugs. So it's good to settle on the simplest protocol possible, and just stick to that. And I'll get to the rest of the question. Do we have a break coming up?
Right after the break here. Yeah, we do have a break coming up right now. It's 28 after the hour. We're going to be back with Dr. Syed Haider after the break. And we're about 3 minutes. It's a shorty. And we'll take your calls, 844-769-2944. Get on those phone lines, folks. You want information? The man is here. We'll be back after the break.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors, and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit .com today. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Thirty-two minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock noon, Tuesday, January 11, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. I am so pro frontline doctor, it's not even funny, because every time Fauci opens his mouth and talks about remdesivir, and I know that Bill Gates is a big heavy investor in the company that makes remdesivir, and he's making a bunch of money. I know that because of the patents that the NIH and Fauci have, they're making a bunch of money. You just got to follow the money trail, and you'll see exactly how corrupt and why we're at war with their own government, especially the medical community, who's trying to lock us down and enslave us and keep us from getting treatments. I swear to God that they are out to kill as many people as they can. I'm going to align with David Martin and Dr. Kerry Mate, also a frontline doctor. Both of them have said that these are basically depopulation efforts. They're killing as many people as they can, especially seniors, so they don't have to pay Social Security and other benefits. I know this is just probably, this may sound crazy to our guest here. Dr. Syed Haider is back with us here on the Power Hour. The number is 844-769-2944. I know you listeners have questions out there. I don't know why you're not picking up the phone. We will take your calls. Get on the phone now. Dr. Haider, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, thanks. So I will address just briefly what you had said. I do believe this is a war that we're in, and I think that the agenda is genocidal. You know, like just the way you can describe it as genocidal. I'm not going to say that, you know, specific people are trying to kill people, but you can just listen to what they say. And people have publicly spoken, you know, Gates has publicly said that he's in favor of pure human beings on the planet. However he can achieve that, you know, he thinks, you know, his what he tells people publicly is that in poor countries like Africa, if you vaccinate people, there's data that shows if you vaccinate children, for example, and try to make them healthier, make them survive, that parents will have fewer children. And also, like, if you export, like, our culture, right? Our culture is one where we're having fewer and fewer children every year, right? So if you extrapolate the trends, you know, there may not be any white people left in a couple hundred years. We're just not, you know, they're not multiplying. My mother's Caucasian, so I almost said we, you know, but, so there is, you know, and also the climate agenda, you know, people, the top climate scientists for decades have always said, you know, that even if we could solve the CO2 problem and the climate, you know, quote unquote climate change problem, they still would not be in favor of more people. They would still want fewer people on Earth. So at the top levels, there's this agenda that wants less people, however they can achieve that. And, you know, I'm not going to say whether, you know, I can't tell you what people are thinking, what their intentions are, but we can certainly see the effects of what's happening, and we can talk about, you know, what the vaccines are doing. But I did want to, like I promised, just address the question that we got before the break. I have seen hair loss with long COVID. Basically, different people have different symptoms, and it's really a matter of, like, your own kind of personal weak links. Like, where are your weak links in your body? And that's where you're going to find the effects of COVID-19 hitting hardest. And for some people, you know, it's their skin or their hair, and seeing a change in that, when you can treat it, you can treat all of the long COVID symptoms with drugs like ivermectin, sometimes steroids, sometimes fluvoxamine. Sometimes you have to get a little bit more creative and use Maraviroc is one drug that we use a lot. It's actually an HIV drug, but it works great for COVID, or long COVID specifically. But with the hair loss, it does take some time. It'll take time to notice, because hair can fall out pretty fast, but regrowing it takes, you know, a few months. So you gotta be patient with the hair loss. And then with the inhaled steroid, yes, certainly people use it for COPD. If you have COPD and you need a refill, you know, that's something that we can accommodate. And certainly it's beneficial for acute COVID, you know, for the inflammation in the lungs, and also I sometimes use it for long COVID. But I'd like to also just mention, you know, there's things you can do at home. You can actually inhale with a nebulizer. You can use iodine, really diluted iodine and really diluted hydrogen peroxide. So those, I think, are in my ebook, the directions for how to dilute those. If not, you can just register for free at my website and ask us that question, you know, what are those directions, and I'll send them to you. They're available online, but, you know, you want to kind of connect with the doctor, make sure you got the right directions, and make sure you dilute it properly. There's also different dilutions you can use to rinse out your nose and mouth if you're worried about having been exposed. So these are really, really powerful treatments, and especially in the nose and mouth, right? In the first couple of days, they kill COVID on contact, and that's where it's entering, right? So it just helps your immune system get rid of the virus, and it's just dead on contact when you rinse out your nose and mouth with a dilute iodine and or hydrogen peroxide or both solution. You tell me what you want to talk about. If you have other questions, or if you want to get deeper into the whole genocidal agenda side of it.
Right. No, I understand that completely. You look at what they see, even what they say, and then what they don't say, and everything that they've been doing, and the World Economic Forum, and the fact that, you know, we had this stuff in a lab in University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, with Dr. Ralph Barrick. This stuff got sent over by Echo Health Alliance to the lab in Wuhan. We know enough about it. We're not stupid. My listeners are not stupid. Alexander in Kansas City, yeah. You're on the phone with Dr. Syed Haider. What's your question?
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Bruce, for taking my call. Doctor, I'm the vitamin freak. I'm the vegan, and for a long time I have a high blood pressure, and I also, when they start measuring me, I always get so nervous because I had a cancer. I was lost some time in the hospital, so now I'm on a fasting thing. I'm fasting because that's all I know now what to do. Every time they measure my pressure is over 200, and I'm calmed down, so maybe 190, 180. Do you have any idea, sir, what to do?
Yeah, so if you're vegan, you got to really make sure that you have all the micronutrients and vitamins that you need. So, you know, I don't deal with a lot of vegans, but I think it's like some B vitamins that are kind of difficult to get on a vegan diet. So just make sure, you know, you might want to double check and make sure that you have all the micronutrients that you need. Maybe check your homocysteine. That's a indicator of B vitamin like sufficiency, having enough B vitamins. Make sure you have enough magnesium. You know, that's important for blood pressure. You know, these are kind of hard questions to answer, you know, without a lot of additional information. And the reason is that high blood pressure can be caused by 100 different things. So it's hard to know what's causing it for you specifically. You know, stress is certainly part of high blood pressure, so everyone needs like a stress management protocol that they do every day, even if they don't feel stressed out, because stress can manifest as a physical symptom and not as a psychological, you know, feeling. So there is stress in everyone's life, and in your case, you may be there. So one thing that people talk about a lot is salt. Salt, you know, sensitive. So salt-sensitive people are very rare, but, you know, maybe 4 or 5% of hypertensives are actually sensitive to salt enough that it makes a big difference. You know, for most people, if you cut out salt or try to limit salt, it's like a few points will lower on your blood pressure. I mean, it's not clinically significant. It's not worth even bothering. But there are a few rare people, you know, they have a genetic predisposition to be very salt sensitive. So I don't know if you ever tried the low salt. If it didn't make a big difference, then just drop it and forget it and eat salt, you know, as much as you want. But yeah, I mean, if you go down kind of a functional medicine route of, you know, workups, oftentimes you can figure out what it is, you know, that's causing it. And the cause can be so many things. It can be a chronic inflammatory condition or chronic infectious disease, or it can be a nutrient deficiency, or it can be a toxic buildup of something. And this is just your body's way of dealing with it by raising its blood pressure. But trying to figure out and sort out what that is, can be a little difficult sometimes. You know, you can go a long way yourself, oftentimes with diet, exercise, stress management, and all kinds of things. But if you hit a wall where you've tried everything and you feel like you're doing everything right and you're really healthy, then sometimes you need to find somebody to help you, you know, sort it out and figure out what the underlying cause is. If you sign up for my website, actually, I have something I can send you about hypertension, you know, just kind of a thing that I send people who come to me with hypertension. It's got a bunch of things that you can try in terms of supplements and different approaches you can take. Actually, Allicin or, you know, it's Alimax or garlic extract sometimes work well for hypertension.
That's amazing because I take Alimax and it works. Alexander, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate that. Phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. Ladies and gentlemen, come on. My listeners, you are all smart. You understand what's going on here. I think that if you were listening to what Dr. Heider was saying, he basically is saying the idea is to not wait until you get sick to start calling around and saying, hey, the whole idea, this is why we go to the Power Mall. This is why you buy all of the products that we offer on the Power Mall, like the supplements and the Strauss Heart Drops and everything we do, because one, it supports our project, and two, when you have a doctor like this that is so frontline, it's unbelievable, that would be willing to sit down, talk to you about stuff, and actually help you plan your medicine cabinet in advance. I mean, you talk about protocols, folks. That's about the best solution I can find to anything. And I mean, this guy is like a handful. There's only a handful when you look at all the medical doctors in the community. They're all brainwashed and all following CDC's protocols. And when the, you know, they want you to show up in the hospital when your lips turn blue. I mean, this stuff is nonsense. And so, and then Gilead Sciences is making money. And this thing, we haven't even talked about the vaccines yet. Here's another problem is that people who have gotten the jab, and a lot of us haven't, a lot of our listeners, Dr. Heider, have not gotten the jab. And then, you know, when they do, and people they know that come in and complain, we're seeing more and more people who are vaccinated infected with this stuff. And I keep telling people, look, if you get a flu vaccine, what do they give you a little bit of? The flu. If they give you a COVID vaccine, what are they giving you? They are giving you a bioweapon spike protein, and people just aren't getting it. What do you say to people like this? How do you back off from this?
Yeah, I think one thing people have to realize is that the virus is actually a better way to be introduced to the spike protein than the COVID vaccine. So the vaccine, it's a sudden, like, jump in the amount of spike protein that's in your body, and it enters oftentimes your bloodstream. It travels to different parts of your body all over, right? Whereas if you get infected with a virus and not, you know, you don't have a vaccine injected into you, if you get infected with a virus, then it first you know, comes into your nose and mouth, and it stimulates your surface immune system, right? Like the IgA, which is it's an antibody that's created on the surface of your body, right? It's not inside your body, so the spike protein injections will only trigger IgG or like internal antibodies, not the surface protection. And the other thing that's important to realize is that there's a really slow ramp up in the production of the virus and the creation of spike protein and the levels of spike protein in your body. So it's kind of like a slow and gradual rise as opposed to this sudden injection and then sudden creation of huge amounts of spike protein that oftentimes go all over your body, everywhere, like places the virus would never reach. You know, if you got a natural infection, you know, it doesn't get into your bloodstream, right? And it doesn't spread everywhere, you know, the way it does with the injection, you're not going to have, you know, spike protein being produced in your heart muscle cells, right? Whereas with the vaccine injection, you know, cells all over your body could be creating spike protein. And so the things that, when things go wrong with the injection, they go much more wrong than they would if you had gotten an infection. So vaccine-induced myocarditis is much more serious than a natural myocarditis from the virus, from the viral infection. You know, I think the most convincing, you know, data and research for me is what Jessica Rose has published on the vaccines. And she basically took Pfizer's own trial data. So this is level one evidence. This is the top level of evidence. You know, it's randomized controlled trial. And I'll tell you, I don't believe everything that they published. You know, there was recently in the media the fact that one of the companies that did part of Pfizer's trial data, you know, maybe 10% of it, there was all kinds of funny business going on behind the scenes. You know, the patients were unblinded. They weren't following up the people who had symptoms to test them. You know, just all kinds of things were going, not being done properly. And so the trial data itself is faulty. But what I can say is that let's give them the benefit, even if we give them the benefit of the doubt and say that, like, in the best case scenario, say your vaccine works, say that the number of side effects and the risk of side effects that you report in the trial is the true number. And it's, I can guarantee you that it's actually higher because they made it difficult to report side effects, right? Like it was difficult to, you know, they had like a list that you could, you know, click on easily. But then if there was anything that wasn't on the list, it was more difficult to report those side effects. So the numbers coming out of the trial data, they're the best possible world for Pfizer. Okay. The best possible, you know, numbers. And in those numbers, in Pfizer's own trial data, 0.71% of people had serious adverse reactions to the injections, to an injection of the vaccine. And so if you extrapolate that out to the whole country based on, you know, 100 million or 200 million vaccine injections so far, you would expect after 200 million injections to see 1.4 million serious adverse reactions happen in the United States of America, okay? But what was reported to VAERS at that time when she did the study was something like 44,000, not 1.4 million. It was only 44,000, right? It reported so far at that time when she ran the numbers. So she came up with the underreporting factor, right? So you multiply 44,000 by 31, you get 1.4 million. So all the stuff in VAERS, you know, all the things that are reported, deaths that are reported, you know, hospitalizations, ER visits, et cetera, if you multiply those by 31, which is based on Pfizer's own data, you come up with a number of deaths that could be attributed to this vaccine in the hundreds of thousands, right? And you come up with, you know, hospitalizations, nearly a million, ER visits, you know, nearly 2 million. You come up with a number for birth defects, I think, of like 8,000, and disability, you know, people disabled, somewhere like 200,000, like the, you know, the girl, the 12-year-old girl, Maddie DeGray, in the Pfizer children's trial, you know, basically in a wheelchair, on a feeding tube. You know, she was a perfectly normal girl with no medical history. And after the injection, she had a severe reaction. You know, she had seizures. She ended up not being able to feel anything from the waist down. And part of her symptoms was a stomach ache, you know, pain in the stomach. And that's what got reported in the Pfizer trial for kids was, you know, functional abdominal pain. So the things that are happening, just they shock people. I mean, I'm shocked by what's happening right now. I can't understand it or believe it when I'm seeing and what's going on at Pfizer and at the FDA and at the CDC. I can't understand how anyone could argue for children's vaccines when we know that they don't, you know, prevent the spread, the children aren't at risk. I mean, it's just those two statements should be enough for any reasonable person to say that children's vaccines make zero sense at all, right? Like, fine, you can argue that maybe if you're giving them the benefit of the doubt on all this data and their trial, maybe you could argue that for some high-risk people it's worth it. Even then, there's just so many red flags that aren't being addressed. We're not discussing them, right? So people aren't even addressing the fact that there was this funny business going on with one of the companies that Pfizer farmed out the data collection to. Pfizer didn't, you know, say anything about that. The FDA didn't say anything about that. You know, it's just like, move along, people, nothing to see here. And then it's out of the news cycle after like 30 seconds. And so one thing I wanted to hit on real quick was the fact that this is a war. Like I said before, you have to understand that, you know, in Sun Tzu's Art of War, he writes that all war is deceitful. So you oftentimes have to lie in a war, right? Like, you just, that's just like the base case, right? Like, you're not going to be truthful with your enemy. And so I think a lot of Americans have gotten used to living in a country where we can be honest and open and outgoing and tell, you know, people everything, right? Whereas now that's not the case anymore. We're living in like a, you know, some place that's like, you know, Nazi Germany or communist China or some place where the authorities can't be trusted anymore. You can't be open and honest with them. You think that you've done nothing wrong, but if you tell people, you know, the honest, open truth, you can end up in a problem situation. And so what I've seen people doing, you know, having to lie, for example, in hospitals, right, to get treatment. I've had people tell me that, you know, in a hospital, they ask for ivermectin, they can't get it. They ask for hydroxychloroquine, they're not going to give it to you. The only drug that they can get is fluvoxamine, right? Like I spoke about earlier, that's had a phase 3 trial showing a 12 times lower risk of death in patients who take at least 80% of their doses of fluvoxamine versus placebo. So in a hospital, if people complain of depression and say that they've been on fluvoxamine for that before, they'll prescribe you fluvoxamine, you know, and no one thinks these drugs are dangerous in COVID patients. So as long as you can push the right button, say the right thing, you'll get the drug that works for COVID. It doesn't work that well for ivermectin because, you know, the only thing that we really use it for is, you know, parasites and scabies, and the dose is wrong for those. You know, you need a different dose for COVID. But the dose for fluvoxamine will work on COVID. And the easiest drug to remember that is it works just the same as fluvoxamine is Prozac. 30 milligrams Prozac once a day basically does the same thing fluvoxamine does, and it actually probably does it better because it has fewer side effects. It's easier to remember. You take that once a day for 14 days for COVID, and it works like a charm. And it's just unfortunate and crazy to me that people are going to these lengths nowadays in America where they're lying to their doctors or they're sneaking in ivermectin for somebody, right? Like, I had a patient tell me he snuck in ivermectin to his dying father, and days later he's being discharged. He was on a ventilator. He came off the ventilator. He was being discharged. And his roommate, who was dying on a ventilator, saw all of this happen and said, "You got to give me that stuff before you leave. Give me the rest of it." He gave it to his roommate. His roommate also got off the ventilator, went home a few days later. Now they're fast friends. I mean, these kind of friendships, they're like friendships that develop in a foxhole, you know, when you're in the trenches with somebody in a war. But the fact that Americans have to go to these lengths to get treatment that works, you know, astounds me. And, you know, even if you take them to court, you're going to get it too late, right? So people are trying to circumvent the system. And this is like guerrilla warfare, right?
Dr. Hyder, it amazes me. I hate to interrupt you here, but it amazes me. And we've got callers, people are calling in. The phone lines are stacking up. Our situation is, you know, here's a protocol that actually worked, and the hospital didn't get $39,000 in Medicare money when these people died on a ventilator. This is a sad thing. Stacy in Missouri, you're on the phone with Dr. Hyder.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate everything that you're offering us today. I actually have been subjected to what I would call the COVID shame, not getting vaccinated, and then after being vaccinated, having had COVID and the difficulties that are involved in that. And now with me having had COVID this past fall and being in October, it actually ended up being that, you know, now I'm being pressured into going ahead and getting the vaccine. And I just want to know, you know, where is the value in my natural antibodies? Where is the value and how long does that last? And, you know, should I be someone that should consider ivermectin, you know, on the back burner for another round of COVID? I mean, where should we be in that? And those questions are not being answered by the medical profession.
Good question, Stacy. What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what we saw from the beginning, like nearly 2 years ago now, was that people who had the first variant, they didn't get sick until now. We're starting to get the first reports that possibly people are getting Omicron now, a couple of years later, after they had the initial infection. So there were reports here and there of people possibly getting reinfected, and some people would come to me and think they got reinfected. The problem with most of those supposed reinfections is that when they sequenced the virus in people, they found it was the same virus from the first infection, and it was just like leftover remnants of the virus. So overall, natural immunity is like rock solid. It's the top level immunity. It's what you want. It's far superior to vaccine immunity. It may actually last for decades, right? We don't really know. And if you do get a breakthrough infection, maybe 1 or 2 or 3 years later, it's going to be much less severe than it would have been if you didn't have natural immunity. And it's a better bet than getting a vaccine. And getting a vaccine after natural immunity actually makes you higher risk for the side effects of the vaccine, unfortunately. I don't think I would vaccinate anyone who has natural immunity. And again, we don't have clear, like, really good data yet on whether, like, I've heard reports that the breakthrough infections have just started in the last few, like, couple of months. People have started telling me that they got breakthrough infections, but I don't know that we've actually confirmed that yet with sequencing to make sure that they're not just, you know, testing positive again with the same virus they had a few months before or a year before, because the spike protein can stay in your body for a really long time, and other proteins from the virus can stick around for a long time. So, I mean, there is some indication that possibly immunity is starting to break down, but again, even when it does cause a reinfection, it's not as bad as, like, as if you didn't have immunity. And it doesn't depend on antibodies, right? So it depends on antibody-producing cells, like the B cells. And those are forever. You know, once you have a B cell trained to produce antibodies for COVID, that B cell is with you for the rest of your life. So the next time you're exposed to anything that looks even slightly like COVID, even if it's a different variant, your B cells will kick up and create antibodies at the drop of a hat, like instantaneously. There's no delay. And so even if your circulating antibodies drop, it doesn't mean you're not immune. Your T cells are still around. They last forever. So the immune memory lasts forever. Your immune memory never forgets. It's like an elephant.
Wow, great question.
Well, I appreciate
questions.
That because we were said to have had Delta, and, you know, it was said to be more serious than anything else. And then, of course, I've got an employer that's trying to mandate, you know, that we do the vaccines. And I'm looking at them thinking, where did the value go in having antibodies? You know, that's not even a conversation that's had. They're still looking at you saying, you need to do this vaccination or you can no longer be employed.
That's a sad state of affairs. Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs, Stacey. We are just about out of time here, and we thank you for your call. And just understand, too, that we have a Supreme Court decision right now that is weighing in the balance, and they may shut down these mandates. And so you won't be exposed to that, and you can tell your boss, like I said, I'd love to see every single healthcare professional walk out of the hospital right now and protest, even if it's, you know, just for a short period of time, and let these hospitals see just how stupid some of their protocols are, especially mandating healthcare workers that were on the front line of this entire thing in the first place that got COVID and recovered from it. I mean, the nonsensical BS that we've been fed by the health industry is not working for me or anybody else. Dr. Syed Haider, thank you so much for being on our show. We learned a lot today. Thank you so much, Americans. You are wonderful, Power Hour listeners, Power Hour Nation. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.